This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. If you want to join the debate, very easy to do so. 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us at Love Sport Radio 2. We are going to reflect on that 3-3 draw, that thriller at the London Stadium last weekend. Of course, Glenn Murray gets a game, gets a goal, gets a new contract. So bish bash bosh, not going in January, still a Brighton and Hove Albion player very much so. David Proper signing a 2-year contract extension too. He's going to be with the club until 2023. As suspected, Jurgen Locadia did come back to Brighton and then go straight off to FC Cincinnati in MLS. So he won't play a part for the remainder of the season. We're going to look ahead, of course, to the massive game against Watford this weekend to a proper relegation 6-pointer. On the line, as always, delighted to say I'm joined by Josh Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Great to have you on the line, buddy. I guess we have to start where we have to start. West Ham last week. It looked like you were down and out, but you came back from the dead and very, very nearly got a win.
Yeah. By the end of the game, I felt like we'd dropped 2 points, not 1-1, because that first half was horrific, and the way we fought back and got those two goals, we did, like you said, look like we were the ones that were going to take the winner in the end. So very happy with the turnaround, but it did feel like a bit of a punch in the gut. We didn't manage to steal it at the end. It was strange.
Yeah, should have very much stolen it. I've got to ask you, mate, Glenn Murray, handball, not handball. What say you? Be honest, please.
First look, when I saw it in real time, I thought handball. VAR shows that it pretty clearly hit his stomach, so I'm happy with it.
I thought you might say that, mate. Classic one from a Brighton fan there. But listen, it was a massive win, wasn't it? Of course, on the back of a pretty poor run under Graham Potter. This, it feels like, I know it was just a draw, but I think the manner in which you got the draw as well, being those two goals down and coming back into the game so quickly as well, two goals in the space of 5 minutes, Pascal Gross and Glenn Murray, like we said, I just think it's potentially given the club a bit of impetus now going into the final stretch of the season. Of course, we do have a little quick midwinter break. You'll have a week off, but you'll be back in action in a couple of weeks. But it's just going to give the team a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think the manner of it was key, really. We'd had a very poor January. Heads were down. And, you know, that kind of performance and coming back in that way, not even at home, to do it away at someone else's turf, especially a team that are down there with us as well, I think it's a big statement to kind of get ourselves back on track. And a team like ours, with the way we play and the football we play, I feel like you just need a slight injection like this and it could turn it around and, you know, we could take 2 or 3 wins on the bounce next. We're a weird team, so I'm hoping that's going to do that. And, you know, with the games coming up, we need those wins. So Watford is massive, but to take a point, and like you said, the man did, I thought it was really important. And we'll see just how much it's boosted us tomorrow.
Yep, and one man at the heart of that point as well, Mr. Glenn Murray. I've lost count the amount of times that we've spoken about him on this show, Josh. Natural, because he's a Brighton and Hove Albion player, and this is the Brighton Fan Show. But he bagged his first start since September. We suggested, didn't we, last week, that he might get that call up from Graham Potter. Few stats on Glenn Murray now. He needs 14 goals to become Brighton's all-time leading goal scorer. He scored 26.3% of Brighton's Premier League goals. Only Neil Redfern, who played for Barnsley in the 97-98 campaign, can boast a higher percentage. That's 0.7% better than Glenn Murray. So he's clearly pivotal in what Brighton do. And as a result of getting that goal, it might not be solely to do with that goal, but he's signed an extension. He's guaranteed to be at the club for another season.
Yeah, I think it's a really shrewd addition to his contract too, because if we were to go down, I still think a 37-year-old Glenn Murray is worth 20 goals in the Championship. I think he's that good. And the manner in which he plays kind of makes him timeless, kind of in the way Zlatan Ibrahimovic plays. He doesn't he doesn't need the legs kind of thing to continue going. And if there is a player on the Albion side over the last 20, 30 years that's worthy of, it doesn't really happen anymore, but worthy of like a statue outside the stadium or a stand named after him, it's Glenn Murray. He has just been that important for us. And I think it's a great signing. I think it's a good extension. And like we said last week, if we weren't to sign a striker in the January transfer window, it's then on Graham Potter to find a way to reintroduce Glenn Murray, because he is able to score goals at this level. And, you know, less than 24 hours later, he finds a way to re-implement him and reintroduce him, and he bags. So Graham Potter is obviously doing the right things behind the scenes to keep him hungry. And he's done the right things in front of all of us by putting him on the pitch when we all knew that that was the decision he needed to make.
It's a funny old thing, isn't it? And I'm not foolish enough to think that football is that simple a game. But sometimes, as a fan, you look at it and you go, maybe football isn't that complicated. And I know that Graham Potter clearly had a vision for the way that Brighton play, and he's utilised Neil Maupay in that. He's brought in Jahan Bakshi. He's come back in, of course, and has scored a couple of goals too. Glenn Murray clearly wasn't fitting into the style of play that Graham Potter was implementing at the club, which is a very different style of play to what the club were used to under Chris Hughton, to what Glenn Murray was used to under under Chris Hughton. But it just goes to show that when you've got a goal-scoring striker there in your midst, put him into the team and he scores goals. That's where you think football isn't that complicated.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think it says a lot about Graham Potter as a manager too, because there's a lot of managers that wouldn't allow their ego to allow them to make this kind of consolation of like concession of letting him in. And we had this feeling like last year with Hughton, there was a couple of things that Albion fans thought he needed to do and he just wouldn't do. And I think it says a lot about Potter and the fact that he is able to reflect in that way and kind of humble enough to say, you know what, like I had an idea, I had a plan. It isn't working exactly how I want it to. So let's reorganize, let's reshuffle and see if we can kind of bring in a hybrid type of play. And, you know, we stay up, and if we stay up, we can revisit in the summer and we can, you know, really dead in the identity I want. But for now, I'm humble enough to know that this is what we need, and you're good enough to do it. So up steps Glenn and bang, scores a goal and we get a point.
Yeah, love it. I loved to see it. It was great to see him celebrate. Slightly soured, of course, with the nonsense of VAR tempering that celebration, but still great for him to get on the score sheet. And not the only player to extend his contract as well in recent times. Now, January, we saw Aaron Moy. We saw that move made permanent. That was a great deal. We saw Tariq Lamptey come in on deadline day. Apart from that, no real business conducted, no more incomings from Graham Potter. However, getting those players secured on deals, and Davy Prupper now has signed a 2-year contract extension until 2023. Big player for the club. That's great news.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the most underrated central midfielders in kind of that bottom 12, bottom 16 of football teams in the Premier League. I think he does such an incredibly good job, and he's been able to not miss a single beat that changing from Chris Hughton to Graham Potter. And like we've said, the style is like night and day. So I think it's a really clever decision to sign him up for two reasons. I think he's someone who can easily carry our midfield forward next year if we stay up. And if we do go down, he's probably going to be one of the first players out the door because I think the demand will be pretty high. And that extra 2 years on his contract means that we can ask for a bigger price tag. So I think the Albion are doing all the right things at the right time. And hopefully we stay up, because I think I would hate to see him not play for us.
I actually think it's a funny situation of a Chris Hughton signing, sorry, being very much a Graham Potter player. I think that he works extremely well under Graham Potter. We're actually seeing him probably produce a better period of form under Graham Potter. And that could be due to the fact that he's needed time to adjust to the Premier League. But I think that combative nature, the fact he's comfortable in possession as well, really suits what Potter does. But what I'd like to ask you, Josh, is who he plays better alongside in the middle of the park. Who would be the better suitor for Prupper? Pascal Gross, is that, do they work well together? Is it better to have Dale Stevens alongside him? What's the better foil for Prupper?
It's a good question, because him and Stevens have been that kind of mainstay of the deeper midfielders forever. And Dale Stevens had a pretty rough time of it around Christmas. He got dropped. I thought Bissouma did really well when he did come in. And I thought they looked more dangerous in that in that midfield together, and then Dale Stevens came back in, and he hasn't done a lot to impress me. And usually I've been a big fan of Dale Stevens. I've, even when some of the fans have been really on his back, you know, I've always thought he provides a pretty unique style to the midfield. But I feel like it would be nice to see a change, and I would like to see Proper and Bissouma in there. Gross plays a little bit more forward. I think the conversation with Gross is going to be more of a who plays better, Moy or Gross. The more I watch this, the more I think that you can't really have a starting 11 with Aaron Moy and Pascal Gross playing. And I don't even know which one I would rather have, depending on the day. But for Davey Proper, I think him and Dale Stevens have been together a long time. I'm just not entirely sure Dale Stevens is a Graham Potter player, like you said, Davey Proper was. So I would probably like Steve Bissouma in there.
And just to quickly finish on the West Ham game itself, Josh, I just want to touch on the changes that Potter made to the starting lineup on that occasion. We saw Trossard come in. We saw Glenn Murray come in, of course. Alzate dropped to the bench. Neil Maupay dropped to the bench. He made changes, didn't he? Quite bold changes for this one.
Yeah, and I mean, it really all turned on a head when we made the substitutions late on in the second half. And I think if any Brighton fan wants to text you or call in and say that they thought that subbing in Schelotto and Solly March was the game-winning move, they're a liar. Like, they're just absolutely wrong. But, you know, this is why he's being paid the big bucks and we're not, because he saw something there. And, you know, they changed the game. They turned the game on its head, and we went on to score those two goals. And that's the kind of thing that you want to see from a coach in the Premier League for a team that's struggling, someone who's happy to make those decisive decisions and, you know, stake their claim on it, and it worked. So fair play to him. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, that is what he's paid for. Absolutely right. And you're right about Schelotto as well. I think we spoke about him last week, didn't we? That was one of the players that I think a lot of Brighton fans would have been happy to have seen potentially move on from the club. I just want to quickly ask you about Solly March as well. This is a guy who came through the ranks at Brighton. He's shown flashes of brilliance in the Premier League. I guess slightly inconsistent in patches. Doesn't really have a great goals to games ratio, but he's not there to be a goal scorer. Doesn't have a great assists to games ratio. Again, perhaps part of his game that he could improve. Nearly got the winner, of course, with a great free kick and a great save from Lucas Fabianski towards the end of that game last week. But the opinion of Brighton fans towards Solly March, considering really he's one of their own.
Yeah, I think he's played just about everywhere, I think, except centre-half over the last couple of years under Heaton Ingram and Potter. He started out as left wing-back this year under Potter before getting hurt, and he has been for quite a lot of time. And this was pretty much the first time we've seen him come back and look fully fit, and he had to play that kind of roam number 10, where he never really knew where he was going to show up on Saturday. So I think that Potter will get the best out of him. And I think he has the potential to be very much like a David Brooks level of like influential talent. It's just going to be a case of keeping him fit and then giving him a run of games. And hopefully this, you know, I wouldn't be upset if he started tomorrow. I think it would be a good decision from us if we kind of tried to replicate the final 11 of what we played with against West Ham.
Yep, indeed. A humongous game tomorrow, as you referenced there. Josh, Brighton hosting Watford in the Premier League, 5:30 kickoff. Get your tea out, get your digestives out and sit back and recline to watch a massive six-pointer in the Prem. Just to quickly touch on a final score in the Championship, Birmingham have gone to Ashton Gate and won 3-1 against Bristol City. City's four-game winning streak has come to a mighty end. Of course, Birmingham now with back-to-back wins against Forest and Bristol City. Things are looking up for them. This, however, is the Brighton Fan Show. Next up, we're looking ahead to that game with Watford.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
The Brighton Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. Plenty more coming up over the course of the next couple of hours or so. We're going to be speaking all things Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield too, so stick with us for that. Right now, it's all about the Seagulls, and we are looking ahead to what is a huge six-pointer in the Premier League tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m. at the Amex. Brighton hosting Watford, of course. Watford looking to avenge that 3-0 humbling on the opening day of the season. Great start to Graham Potter's tenure as Brighton boss. Josh, I'm going to come to you in a moment, but earlier on this week we had the Watford fan show and the boys were speaking very candidly about tomorrow's game and the fact that it is indeed a humongous game. First up, Andy Lewis from the Hornets Nest podcast had to say this.
There's so much pressure on it now after those two poor results for us against Villa and Everton. Like you say, you know, it is a cliche, it's a relegation six-pointer, but genuinely it is a must-win game. There's no other way to describe it. You know, we win this game, we go level on points with Brighton and pull them, not only for us to potentially get outside the relegation zone, but also to pull Brighton down right into the mix and bring in the club down there as well. So I don't really know what Brighton team is going to turn up because, you know, I speak to a lot of Brighton fans, and whilst they play good football, they can't score, and yet last week they managed to notch three against West Ham. So it kind of feels like there is a little bit of inconsistency with Brighton there. So I honestly can't call it. Obviously, I think Watford have got a pretty good chance of getting something there. I'm not sure I'd be happy if we just took a point. I think it's because we absolutely have to win. With the likes of, you know, Manchester United and Liverpool coming up in our fixture list, so it's going to be very interesting. But I won't make the same prediction that I said against both Villa and Everton, whereby I said if we take the lead, I think we'll hold on to it. I've learned my lesson over the last two games, so it should be a very tough game indeed.
A very tough game indeed, says Andy Lewis of the Hornets Nest podcast, Josh. What I took from that when I spoke to him yesterday evening was that, he kept saying that, I just think that we might get a result. He didn't seem entirely convinced. Chucking the fact that Brighton are unbeaten in all four Premier League home games this season against teams currently below them, and you'd like to think, especially when you look at that opening day victory as well, that Brighton hold the upper hand here.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting one. You know, I think that on the opening day, it was a different kind of environment. This one is going to be very high tension, very high pressure. Like you said, it's massive for both teams now, because not only have Watford been on a poor run of form after that kind of new manager bounce they got under Pearson, but so have we. We spoke a couple of weeks ago and I said that I was hoping to get about 8 points from these four games, and the maximum we can come away with now is 5, even if we beat them. So I think, you know, must win is the label for both sets of teams. And I think you're going to feel it, both in the stands, from the players, all the way through.
Yeah, winless in all five Premier League games this year, of course. I know that's the stat that's going around as well. 3 points in 2020 as well. That's the joint lowest tally, along with Crystal Palace, dare I say it, your arch rivals, of course. And conceding 3 goals in successive league matches for the first time this season too. So shipping goals, not actually creating much as well. I have to say the passing stats have slightly dropped as well. Is there a fear here at all, Josh, that the team are going backwards? I know we've spoken about this many, many a time, and there was a good article in The Guardian this week from Paul Doyle, who has kind of reassured Brighton fans who are still pining for the days of Chris Hughton, because you look at the position that the team are in this year compared to where they were last year and the fact that they were slightly better off points-wise. But he actually alluded to Crystal Palace going back to the steady old head of Roy Hodgson when they had Frank de Boer in, of course, to take charge of them. But he's clearly suggesting in his article that Brighton are absolutely right to be sticking with Potter.
Yeah, I read that article too. I thought it was really good. And I agree with him on a lot of what he says. I think that, you know, I don't think now is the time to get an itchy trigger finger. I don't think there's anybody out there that's better suited to getting us out of the mess we're in. And, you know, I thought that over the last couple of weeks, I think we have progressively really gone backwards until last week. And, you know, I don't think you can kind of say that we've continued on that downward trajectory when we've come back from 3-1 down away at West Ham. So I think that is going to be the corner we needed to turn. Potter has made the changes we all thought he needed to make. And it's going to be interesting now to see how we do in the month of February. We historically have been horrific in January. I know we've covered that a couple of times. So we'll see how it turns out. But yeah, I don't think there's a man better suited to it. I think he's still the right man for the job, 100%. And I think that, you know, if we go out there and do our thing, I think we'll beat them on Saturday. But it's just going to be a really, really tight affair, I think.
An extremely tight affair. And we have Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. He was speaking too on the Watford Fan Show, and he has a theory for Watford about the amount of games that they need to win before the end of the campaign. And he's also excited, buoyed by what might be the return of Tom Cleverley this weekend.
We need 5 wins to stay in the Premier League. And I think if on paper, if you look at the running, I think there's 7 winnable games. So we think we need to win 5 out of 7 winnable games starting here. And if we lose on Saturday, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult, not just from the points point of view, but also from a mental point of view. So it's just such a huge game. So whether he'd gamble on Sarr with him not being 100% fit, I'm not sure. But it's beyond huge. And I think it's the last chance saloon for a number of reasons. So Cleverley back is a big thing. We've seen Chalabar's come off for the last 2 or 3 games. And the form in that game has turned around as a direct result of that. Now, whether that's because they're managing him because of his fitness is one thing, or whether it's a tactical thing from Pearson. If it's tactical, it's obviously not working. But if it is a fitness thing, then, well, maybe they look to Will Hughes or Tom Cleverley to come in and start the game. And perhaps Cleverley can use his experience away from home where you know, you need every little edge you can get. So and Tom Cleverley might be that difference. Who knows? But personally, I'm thrilled to see him back. I know exactly what you mean, Matt, when you say that. He's not the sort of an explosive impact player, but he does so much work in the middle of the pitch, and he's a great water carrier.
Mike Parkin there from the Rookery End podcast, speaking about the game tomorrow. Josh, it was quite interesting, the theory that he had there, which I had to get my head around. So basically, he was saying that there are 7 winnable games from the 13 remaining games that Watford have in the Premier League, and they need to win 5 of those 7 from the 13 in order to have a chance of staying up. Have you looked at Brighton's fixtures from now until the end of the season and kind of done a similar equation at all?
Yes and no. I think the 38 points is enough to survive this year. I think it will be more than previous years, but I don't think it's going to be as high as we all thought it might be, you know, beginning of December when it was really close. I think 38 points will be enough. From 20, and like you said, a win this weekend would kick on in the right direction. I think there's definitely 3 or 4 more that we can win between now and the end of the season. Wouldn't want to look at them and say they're winnable, though, because we've done this funny thing where we'll go to Arsenal and beat them, or we beat Tottenham 3-1 at our place. So, you know, we have a lot of big teams coming to visit us still. We still have Manchester United to come and play against us. And for a lot of teams, they may think like, oh, well, that's probably not winnable. But this Graham Potter side is a really strange one, where I think that we may have more chance of getting something there than away at Sheffield United. So we'll see. But yeah, 4 wins for me is enough. I think that 12 points puts us on 38. And I think 38 is going to do it, especially with our goal difference being a lot better than most of the teams around us.
And Watford, of course, losing successive league matches, winless in 3 now after what was a flying start under Nigel Pearson. After this game, Josh, dare I say it, but you go and win this tomorrow, and all of a sudden that's the first win of 2020. The boys are back, and then Bosch, you have a 2-week break. Are you in favour of this winter break, or are you thinking, do you know what, if we win tomorrow, we could do with just continuing our momentum?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because I feel like that you think that you're going to be better off with a bit of a rest, and then it ends up slowing you down, or you think you're going to be better off with momentum and you get tired out. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a good thing to probably take that break right after the January window. I like the idea of it simply because it allows those new players to bed in. You know, Lamptey would have had 3 or 4 weeks with us by then, and Potter can decide what he wants to do with him. And Alexis McAllister will be back with the squad after the Watford game.
There he is.
You know, which could be huge. So he'll have almost 2 full weeks of being able to bed in with the team and train with the team without having to worry about being ready for the team for the first 11. And we know he's already match fit because he's been playing in the Argentinian League. So that's a huge boost to us. And I think that 2 weeks may well come at the perfect time, win, lose or draw.
Indeed. Josh Goldsmith, great to have you on. One more question before you go, as per a quick score prediction from you, if you will.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but every Watford fan I've spoken to seems to think that if Saar doesn't play, we'll win. So I'm going to say that Saar doesn't play and we beat them 2-0.
Hey, we've got a victory prediction from Josh Goldsmith. Great having him on the show, as always, from the Together podcast. This has been the Brighton Fan Show for another week. We'll be back next week to reflect on that game against Watford tomorrow and everything else Seagulls. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.